Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 40. What did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? The rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. The proof text given to us in the Catechism is Romans chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. Listen to these verses in the English Standard Version. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their conflicting thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Yes, the Apostle Paul zeroes in on the Gentiles. The Gentiles, in distinction from the Jews. The Jews had the moral law. It was given to them by God through Moses, and they had the law of God in writing. In fact, it was originally given to them, that is, the moral law in the form of the Ten Commandments, was given to them on two tablets of stone engraved by the finger of God himself. And the Gentiles are those who do not have the law written. This is the point the Apostle Paul is making. But he says they do by nature what the law requires. They instinctively do what the law requires. This is the case even though they are fallen creatures. How is it that they could possibly do what the law requires? It's because the law is written on their hearts, or at least after the fall, the residual of the law remains written on their hearts. After the fall, the image of God was not obliterated. The image of God in the fallen human being is damaged, but not destroyed. It remains. We remain individuals in the image of God, although greatly marred. And the law written on the heart, although marred, was originally given to Adam and Eve in their hearts when they were created in the image of God. You may recall in an earlier lesson we talked about Adam and Eve being created in the image of God and having true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Adam and Eve had true knowledge. That is, they knew who God is, and they knew who they were. They knew God as their creator, and they knew themselves as God's creatures. They were holy. That is, they were perfectly set aside for the purposes of God, and they could walk in the purposes of God. They were perfectly capable of doing so. They were righteous. They had true righteousness. The Apostle Paul says later in the book of Romans, the law is holy and righteous and good. The law is righteous, and Adam and Eve, being created righteous, had the righteousness of the law implanted within them. The law was written on their hearts. They had, we sometimes say, the character of God embedded within them since they were created in the image of God. Now, you'll notice that the Catechism tells us that this was the rule first revealed to man. And what the Catechism is getting at is that the moral law was embedded in Adam and Eve as they came from the hand of God. They bore the character of God. They were created in the image of God. But now, after the fall, what happens? Let's look back again at Romans chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. That is, they preach the law to themselves. They can't help but doing so, even though they do not have the law written. They preach the law to themselves because it's within them, and they show the work of the law is written on their hearts. Yes, the residual effects of the writing of the law on their hearts by the hand of God remains after the fall. This is the wonder of it, you see. And so the Apostle Paul is pointing us back to the fact that Adam and Eve were created in the image of God with the moral law written on their hearts. And this is why the Catechism speaks of the rule which God at first revealed to man. Now, I want to draw another distinction here, which I think is quite important. The law written on the hearts of Adam and Eve was not a covenant of works. The covenant of works came subsequently to the creation of Adam and Eve. And the Catechism is quite specific about this. Listen to question and answer 12 once again. What special act of providence did God exercise toward man in the estate wherein he was created? What did God do subsequent to creation in a special act of providence? When God created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon the pain of death. The covenant of works, which involves the command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, came subsequent to God's creating Adam and Eve in a special act of providence. What this means is that the moral law embedded on the hearts of Adam and Eve was not a covenant of works. I do not agree with certain theologians who speak of the covenant of works as being a creation covenant. That is, a covenant that was in operation upon creation. This would mean that the moral law written on the hearts of Adam and Eve was a part of the covenant of works. But as I say, the Westminster Shorter Catechism and the Bible itself are quite explicit. The covenant of works came subsequent to the writing of the law of God on the hearts of Adam and Eve upon their creation. And so the Catechism is quite specific and quite correct when it says, the rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. This moral law written on the heart, not being a covenant of works, was a rule of life for Adam and Eve. It is what we commonly call the third use of the law. It is not a covenant by which or in which we may be obedient and earn right standing with God. No. It's a use of the moral law which stipulates that we are simply to live by it. This is the standard by which we are to live. This is our duty. Years ago, in class, at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary when I was explaining and outlining the requirements for a class. A student raised his hand and asked this question: "Professor, if I accomplish all of the requirements of the class, will I get extra credit?" Of course, the rest of the class laughed. "You don't get extra credit for performing your duty." I pointed out to him the parable of the unprofitable servant who accomplished all of his duty, you see. And when he came into the household with his master, he wasn't rewarded for doing his duty. No, he proceeded to serve his master and feed his master the evening meal. This was, again, part of his duty. We don't get extra credit for performing our duty. We cannot pat ourselves on the back for accomplishing our duty before God. And accomplishing our duty before God does not gain us merit before God. No, it's simply the pattern for life that God has been pleased to give to us. Jesus Christ says to you and to me, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so the Ten Commandments give to us a simple vehicle for us to display our love to God and our love to God before a watching world. This is the simple way we should understand the moral law of God given to us as a way of life and as our pattern for obedience. What did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? The rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. It is that standard of life by which God desires you and me to live. And this is the first law that God, the first rule which God gave to Adam and Eve, and it continues to be in this life, even after the fall, the rule for our obedience and the pattern for your life and for my life before God. Thanks for listening.